sometimes on nights I preach, I like to sit down here and just listen to all you sing. That way, sometimes my throat gets a little dry if I sing a whole lot. But I had to sing tonight. I couldn't help it. I mentioned earlier about the weekend that we had. And if you remember Wednesday night when I gave my devotional, I talked a little bit about patience. And how I wanted us to work the rest of the week on having patience on some of the things that make us angry and some of the things that aggravate us. I'm sorry to say, to stand before you tonight, that I think I failed my own challenge this weekend. Jason was there, and so was Jeff too, for most of the story, for what I'm about to tell y'all. When you go to this conference, for every 10 kids registered, you get 2 free adult chaperones. And we had 18 kids registered, and I had 4 adult chaperones, including myself. And so we go into the registration office, and after we drop the kids off, and we go in and we say, tell them who we are and what we need, and the girl looks down the list and says, oh, you still owe us $25. Really? Great. I kind of forgot about that. I forgot that I needed to take a check of $25 with me. And so I just kind of ignored what she said, and she goes, well, I don't really know why you would owe us money. We just go get the stuff. And so we went and got our stuff, and we're getting ready to leave, and I'm just like, all right, I got away with it, you know? I don't have to pay $25. It's like confessional, I'm sorry. I don't have to pay, and then there's a man there now, and he goes, wait. You still owe us $25. Well, are you sure? Yeah, that's what it is. She says you owe us $25. I said, well, I don't have $25. Well, it says that's what you owe, so you need to pay us. I said, you mean that you're going to charge me $25 just because I have 2 kids short of having my 4th free chaperone? Yep, that's what they told us to do. All we can do is go by what they told us to do. And I remember, in disgust, I whip out my wallet. And Jeff, all I've got is 20. Can you help me out? And so we pay the man, and we leave, and I'm just furious. And Jeff and Jason both know this, and we walk out the door, and Jeff goes, all right, guys, let us have it. And so I proceed to unload everything that I just unloaded to you in my mind. A moment of anger over $25 and my lunch money for the next week. And last night, we get dinner on our own with our youth group. We get to go out on the town. And I picked this place called the Marketplace Grill. If you've never been there, I encourage you to go. It's a wonderful restaurant. But they don't take reservations on Friday night, or Saturday, or Sunday morning. And I couldn't understand it when I was talking to the lady on the phone. I'm bringing you 25 people. Can you not make some sort of an exception for me? No, sir. We can't do that. We do have call ahead seating, so you can call us, you know, before you're about to head over here. That way, you know, your drive is part of your weight. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. And so we do that, and it's a very, very busy restaurant, a very busy time of the night, and we're sitting in the turn lane trying to turn into this restaurant, and the cars are coming and coming and coming and coming. And finally, I think I see that after this next car, I'll have a break, I can go. And this car is slowing down and slowing down. I'm sure you can relate to this. It's like it's never going to get there. And it finally just stops. The guy was sitting there. And I see who was riding in the front seat. And was it Esther? It was Esther. And I'm so mad at this woman. And then I look, and that was because the traffic had backed up from the stoplight all the way to there. And she was being nice enough to let me turn in. The things that make us angry sometimes. Anger. It's a very sensitive issue, isn't it? You know, I can sit here and talk about it now, and we can all have a good laugh about it, but at the time, you know, it's a real feeling, and it's something that is really getting to me. And it's such a sensitive issue for all of us to talk about, and I think it's because it's something that we all deal with. It's something that we all deal with on a daily basis. You know, it's not just that once-a-week aggravation. It's that 5 or 6 times a day aggravation, when you're just like, you've got to be kidding me. Just quit already. It's something that we try to justify. And we try to justify the anger to ourselves, don't we? You know, we see the story on TV of a murderer who was let go, and we're like, how could you possibly let him go? Everybody and their mother knows that he did this. How can you let him go? And then maybe the mother of the child who was murdered, in a fit of rage, storms into the courtroom and guns the man down. How do most of us react? Huh? What is this? You kill her? Wait, wait. And now we've got what we call crimes of passion. You know, where a man comes in and he finds his wife and another man in bed together, and because he's so angry, he pulls out the gun and kills both of them. And we justify it by saying, who wouldn't have done the same thing? Who wouldn't have wanted to do that? But anger is a very, very serious issue. If you were paying attention to the verses that we read, if you would turn back in your Bible, Matthew chapter 5, is the base text for tonight. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. I asked Tom to read that out of the King James Version. I wish for us tonight. So you've heard that it was said that to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without cause will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. That's a verse that I think a lot of us are very familiar with, and a lot of us read over, and maybe we haven't memorized in that old King James style. I think it's interesting here that anger is in the same classification as murder. Being angry with somebody is just the same as if you were to go out there and kill somebody. I know for some of us it's hard to understand that classification system, isn't it? Because we see, okay, I got mad at somebody, I killed somebody. Which one, you know, which one is the worst sin? But I don't think God sees it like that. I think God sees it a little bit differently. How he can put those on the same plane. You know, we struggle with things. We have a hard time thinking about this. But it's like ice. You know, we're supposed to get a lot of it, right? And we hate it when it's on the roads. We hate it when it's on the power lines, and we lose the power and we lose the heat in our house, don't we? But in the summertime, when it's about 500 degrees outside, everybody wants a cold glass of lemonade with a whole bunch of ice in it, don't they? I think that's the same way. You know, we have a hard time distinguishing between that. If you know ice, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Anger and murder are the same thing. So sin. Well, most of us remember this verse in the King James Version where it has that phrase, whoever is angry with his brother without cause. A lot of us remember it that way, but did you know that that phrase is not in most of the in any of the oldest manuscripts of Matthew that we have? That phrase does not exist until you get into medieval times. There's a scholar named Erasmus who added this phrase in there, and you know why? To help justify being angry. To help justify his reasons for being angry. Anger is such a serious issue, but because it's such a sensitive issue to each of us, we try to sweep it under the rug and we try to justify it by every means possible. I think sometimes we forget that verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Maybe you remember it. Towards the end of it, it says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine. And so often, we're so angry that we seek vengeance on other people. What is it that causes our anger, though? One of the books I was reading says that anger arises as an emotional response to being unjustly humiliated. It involves a loss of self-esteem. It causes the person to feel outraged at what has been done to them, and all of a sudden, we're trying to pay them back. The anger that we feel a lot of the time is an emotional response because somebody humiliated us. We seek revenge and not justice. And we see evidence of that every single day of our lives. We read stories in the paper of people who were so overcome with road rage, and yet somebody cut them off. Somebody wouldn't let them turn into the restaurant they were trying to get to that night. But at the next stoplight, what did they do? They got out of their car, got their gun, walked up to the front door of the car in front of them and put three bullets in the back there. Anger. We read stories of people who the day before, or who walk into office buildings and shoot their boss, shoot three or four other people at the same time. All because the day before, their boss chewed them out in front of a couple of people. They were humiliated by their boss, and they were so angry at their humiliation that they felt they had to go back and get revenge, that they had to make their boss feel the humiliation and feel the pain that they felt. We read stories of abuse and mistreatment in our homes. In our homes. Maybe this one hits a little bit closer to home for some of us. Because for some reason we have this idea that in the home, we're not subject to all the rules of society. We feel free to take things home with us, to take it out on our family, and we wonder why sometimes some of our young people have so many problems. Why violence is up, why we've been reading a school shooting, we wonder. How could there be any doubt? But I think we've become a very angry society as Americans. We've become very, very angry. And it all stems from this humiliation, or from the fear and the humiliation. Perhaps you felt it. In your job, or you're driving down the road. I don't know. I know I felt it. I stand up here and tell you about it all day. The humiliation that we feel. It causes our anger. How do we react? I think that's the key to what we have. You know, anger is something that we feel. You know, the Bible doesn't condemn anger. Because anger is a feeling that we all have to deal with. But I think what it comes down to is our reaction. How do we react? You know, most of what we were just talking about, most of those reactions is this idea of getting even with someone. If they hurt me, so I've got to go out and hurt them. But can that really be the answer? Is that really the answer to dealing with our anger? I don't think it is. I don't think it can be. I don't think it ever, ever can be. Because getting even cheapens and diminishes us. It cheapens and diminishes the way that people look at you as a person. When people see you trying to get even with somebody, you know, they don't see the wrong that was done to you. They see all the dirt and the wrong things that you're trying to do to this other person. All our efforts to get even. And in the day that hurts, by the end of the day, that hurts our reputation. I remember watching an episode of MASH, one of my favorite shows in the world. And Hawkeye, something had happened, and he was trying so hard to prove to everybody that he was innocent, and he was going around and he was trying to pull a practical joke on himself. And it always ended up being pulled on somebody else, and everybody was just, Hawkeye. You know, how could you do that? That's so low. Those efforts of trying to get even, trying to make it right, often cheapen our own reputation. There's a sports star who feels wronged by his teammates because maybe the quarterback didn't throw him the ball often enough. If you're a football fan, you know who I'm talking about. So this guy goes to the media and he rips his teammates, tells them how terrible they are, and calls them out. And pretty soon, you know, it's not the teammates who look bad. It's not the quarterback who looks bad. It's that person who went in the first place. Because we see all of a sudden, you know, we see his efforts to get even. It's hurting his reputation rather than helping it. We can never do enough, no matter what we do. They will never experience the same hurt that they caused you. You know, there's a line in the movie that talks about I was so mad at him, you know. I wanted to dig him up out of the grave and just kill him again. You know? Kill him again. And God said this in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. If you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You recognize the end of that verse? Love your neighbor as yourself. I think it was Jesus that talked about that, wasn't it? Maybe the second greatest commandment. We're not supposed to hold a grudge. We're not supposed to be angry with people like that. Buddha said this about anger. He said, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at somebody else. You are the one who gets burned. And I think this describes perfectly the second reaction that a lot of us have to anger. Some of us try to get even, but a lot of people repress their anger. They hold it all inside. They hold all that rage inside them. And rather than letting it out, they end up getting burned. Religious people, church people, people like us in this room today. This is what we tend to do a lot, isn't it? We try to hold it in because we think we're Christians. Oh, we can't get angry. We don't hear that. You know? You think that somehow being a Christian makes us better than everybody else when it comes to dealing with anger. So we can hold it all inside. And we like to think that we've forgotten about it. You know, years down the road, we like to think that we've let it go, or we've been able to let it go. And maybe, I don't know, 4 years later, we find that coming back up. You know, you've got the same situation that's in the back of your mind. It's such a huge lie to think that you can repress it and just forget about it. Because it's going to come back to get you. It's going to come back. You can't just keep it all in. You've got to deal with it. You know, a lot of psychologists tell us that the consequences of anger, of repressing this anger, is depression. Not to say that all cases of depression are because of this, but I believe a lot of them are. But a lot of the things that we have are anger turned inward. We let it burn us. It's such a dangerous thing for us to deal with, especially when we try to do it on our own. And it seems like we're the only ones who ever feel its pain. We all get angry. It happens. So we have to learn how to deal with our anger. We have to learn to deal with it in the proper setting, and that is not getting angry at our brother. I'd like to offer three things to help us deal with our anger. The first one is this, that we need to take a moment to stop and reflect. When we feel ourselves getting angry, we need to say, okay, hold on. You know, if I had turned and looked over my shoulder, I would have seen how far traffic had backed up. And I would understand why the woman was slowing down. That moment of reflection, not only on the situation, but also on the grace that God has shown towards us. You remember the story from Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 and through 33? You know, one servant is forgiven a huge debt by his master, and the next moment turns around and wants from another servant, you know, just a drop in the bucket compared to what he was forgiven. And the master calls him back and says, and just tells him, shouldn't I have been angry with you? But I was able to forgive you. How on earth could you not forgive this person? Whenever we think that we have the right to be angry about something, we need to stop and think about the anger of a God. Of an all-powerful God who has every reason in the world to be angry with you. For all the sin that you have in your life, God has every reason to be angry with you, and he's not. Not. If there's love in our hearts, there is no room for anything else. I like that thought. If we have love in our hearts, if we have joy in our hearts, there is no room for these feelings of anger. Because love drives out our anger. It drives it out of our hearts and out of our minds. And that with this love and with this feeling that we have inside, that life is too wonderful to let anger spoil it. Amen? Our life is too wonderful to let anger creep in and destroy it. We can't be overcome. Secondly, we need to remember that it's God who sets things right. And we talked about that timetable thing Wednesday night. It's not always, you know, the next day when we would like God to get even with him, is it? There's a poem I found that says, "Though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceedingly small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness he grinds all." He might not do it when we want him to do it, but it happens. Vengeance is the Lord's. Justice comes from God. Lastly, I think that we have to decide to imitate the style of Jesus. After all, isn't that what being a Christian is all about? It's not just a name. It's a way. It's the way we live our lives. We have to imitate the one for whom we are named. Matthew chapter 5, just down a few verses, verse 40. "So that if anyone would see you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." The way to deal with people who make you angry is to repay them with good. For those who make you angry, do more than they've asked you to do. Do more than is required. Be good to them and serve them. Let them feel that joy that is within you. I know you're sitting there thinking, "Well, gosh, what about Ephesians 4 and verse 26? It says, be angry and sin not." It's a verse that's always been very hard for me to wrap my mind around and to justify. But I think that if we can learn to deal with our anger in the right way, if we can learn to reflect on things and put things in perspective, if we can remember to let God set things right, if we can imitate Jesus when it comes to dealing with the people who make us angry, I think that is the only way that we can be angry and not sin. The only way that we can let it happen. So what about you tonight? Maybe there's some things that you've been dealing with, I don't know. I kind of unburdened myself to you tonight. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've been dealing with and that you need to let go of. Tonight is the perfect opportunity to do that. Maybe you've been that angry person like myself driving down the road. And maybe you've decided that it's time to let go of all those angry thoughts and to put on Christ in baptism. To feel this love and the joy that's everlasting. If there's anything that we can help you with tonight, please come down those aisles right now and let us pray for you as we stand and sing.